Well, when David heard of it, verse 8 now, when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the hosts of the mighty man. Here's an army that's gathering against him. And so David goes out to fight them. David's hot-headed, though, about all this. And the children of Ammon came out, put the battle in array before the gate of the city, and the kings that were come were by themselves in the field. But when Joab saw that the battle was set against him before and behind, he chose out of all the choice of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. Now, the Syrians had the best army. So he took the best of his forces and put them over against the Syria. And they're coming down from the north, and up from the south comes Ammon. And now the rest of the people he delivered under the hand of Abishai, his brother, and they set themselves in array against the children of Ammon. And his strategy was very good. He said now to his brother, if you are overcome, I'll come to your aid. But if I'm overcome, you come to my aid, and we'll play it that way. In other words, they'd put their force against where the attack came. That was a strategy that was used by both sides in the Civil War. It was used at Chattanooga there, which was the determining battle of the Civil War. And this was his strategy. Now he says, verse 13, be of good courage and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. So Joab and the people that were with him drew nigh before the Syrians unto the battle, and they fled before him. Now Joab was a real army man. He was a real soldier. And he had been trained under David. He and David were probably tops as far as military men were concerned. Now when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, they likewise fled before Abishai's brother, and they entered into the city. Then Joab came to Jerusalem. He came back to Jerusalem to report. When the Syrians saw that they were put to the worst before Israel, they sent messengers and drew forth the Syrians that were beyond the river. In other words, they sent for help. Now it was told David, and he gathered all Israel. He passed over Jordan. He came upon them and set the battle in array against them. So when David had put the battle in array against the Syrians, they fought with him. But the Syrians fled before Israel. David slew of the Syrians 7,000 men which fought in chariots, 40,000 footmen, and killed Shaphat, the captain of the host. And when the servants of Hadarezer saw that they were put to the worse before Israel, they made peace with David and became his servants. Neither would the Syrians help the children of Ammon anymore. Now, may I say that David did not want to go to battle. And here's a tremendous lesson. Remember, you're getting God's viewpoint now. He didn't want to fight. God's making that clear. He wanted peace with the Ammonites. He made a gesture of peace. Now, he received an insult. He's a hot-headed man. And so, he sees the enemies preparing to come against him. So David sends out Joab, and the enemy flees. But that doesn't end it. They are getting now help. They're getting allies on their side. So David now leads into battle. I tell you, when David led into battle, he went into battle to win, friends. I think it's tragedy for any nation, and that includes our nation, to fight a war not to win. How tragic that is. My friend, you don't fight wars just to fight wars. You fight wars to get a victory. I think that's what General Douglas MacArthur said. That was the statement he made in the Korean War. And our nation has gotten itself into tragic circumstances because of that. You see, if we'd have won the war, we'd have spared thousands of lives. Now, a great many people come along and read this and say, oh, God is bloody. No, God's not bloody, friend. He knows the way to save human life. And the way to save human life is to win the battle. It's to win the war. And we're in a sinful world. We're not living in a world where everything is a Sunday school picnic. It's a pretty brutal world. It's a mean old world that we're in. And any time that you want to say with Browning, God's in his heaven and all's right with the world, You're not quoting Scripture, and you're not giving God's viewpoint. You're getting God's viewpoint here, and personally, I don't know about you, but I think it's tremendous. I think this is without doubt one of those great sections of the Word of God. This day of permissiveness, this day of the foul mouth, this day that we no longer have personal honesty and personal integrity and human sincerity, and we're told that our country is sick. Well, we have the greatest nation. The problem is individual. The problem is personal. We are permitting this awful permissiveness. We're in a world of sin. We're in a world where laws should be enforced and where criminals should be punished. Oh, it's not ideal. God didn't say it was ideal. God says, as long as you're in a world like this, a strong man armed will keep his house. And you're getting God's viewpoint here, by the way, which is quite interesting.